Hello and welcome to the Monday, May 26, 2014 edition of the Sands and its Storm Centers Stormcast. My name is Johannes Ulrich and I'm today recording from Jacksonville, Florida. On Friday, Richard posted a little video diary with a walkthrough through the Cisco Live conference. Now, this conference is pretty salesy, but then again, one thing that Richard did was to look at what to be ready for kind of as a security professional. And the one big message here at Cisco Live was, of course, the Internet of Everything, so essentially devices. We talked so many times about devices already, and this will certainly be one of the big challenges coming down to network security administrators to find ways to secure all of these devices and properly compartmentalize them in networks, if that's even possible. I think just looking at the 20 critical controls, for example, one good way to start here is, and to plan ahead, is to come up with good inventories of devices that are connected to your networks. Whether it's wireless or wireless, you need to be able to figure out that a new device was connected to your network pretty quickly and then what services it may offer. Now, in last week's news, of course, one of the big items was how eBay lost control of its user database and lost something like 145 million records with email addresses and encrypted passwords. So there's now a lot of follow-up to this particular news story. First of all, there is at least one additional cross-site scripting vulnerability that has been released since. Michael Eisler does take credit for it and then points out that he notified eBay 2 months ago about this vulnerability and really had a hard time getting them to fix it and had to keep following up in order to explain to them how important this particular vulnerability is. I keep mentioning here in this podcast how cross-site scripting is frequently not well understood and not taken as serious as it should be taken. Secondly, we do have probably an even worse vulnerability, and that's a file upload that leads to a code execution vulnerability. Someone apparently uploaded a PHP shell to eBay. Now, this has not been independently confirmed. The page this particular researcher was referring to was up, but people weren't able to execute commands, which may be due to a password or some special restrictions that were put in place in order to limit what can be done or who can execute commands with the shell. But what has been verified is that there was definitely a file on eBay's site that looked like a PHP shell. Of course, neither news is good news for eBay, given that after the leak occurred, the PR response was, well, just a PR response. And then, of course, a lot of users have lost trust in eBay, and these claims of vulnerabilities are even more taken serious now. And there were a number of offers out there that pretended to have eBay records for sale. At this point, apparently, all of them are fake. So guess save your bitcoins on this one. And Facebook, like many other social networking sites, does have a feature that allows you to pull in contacts from other software, for example, Skype. So with this feature, you log into Facebook and then you give Facebook access to your Skype account and it will pull in all your Skype contact and then check whether or not any of them have a Facebook account. Problem here is that once you do that, Facebook will actually display the email addresses of these invited users. In order to invite a user, they do not have to accept your contact request via Skype. Also, the email address being displayed by Facebook is their Skype email address. This bug has been fixed now, and the problem should no longer occur. And Privacy International is asking why British authorities went through the pain to physically destroy specific chips in computers that were confiscated in connection with the Snowden leaks. Turns out that various keyboard controller chips and such were physically drilled out in order to destroy them. The only thing I can think of this is that many of these devices are essentially USB devices, and one common technique to hide data on machines is to add clandestine USB devices to existing controllers. So, for example, add the capability to store files within the trackpad. This can certainly be done. It usually requires sophisticated altered firmware, unless you really want to make it very obvious and solder stuff to your boards, which of course, once you open the computer, would be pretty easy to spot. The question here, of course, is whether or not you should apply the same care when you destroy systems. Really depends on whether you're afraid that the systems got tampered with or not, in my opinion. I don't think many of the devices that were destroyed here have sort of inherent storage capability that would go above the last few keystrokes. And well, that's it for today. So thanks again for listening, and talk to you again tomorrow. Bye.